Dr. is Dr. Sasha McGee. Dr. McGee has a PhD in health sciences and technology from MIT. She has an MPH in epidemiology from UNC Chapel Hill, and she is currently employed at the DC Department of Public Health. The DC Department of Health. Dr. McGee.
Good afternoon. So this work that I'll be presenting today is based on work that I did while I was a researcher at the Leinberger Comprehensive Cancer Center at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So I have no relationships to disclose. So it's well documented in the literature that disparities in breast cancer outcomes based on insurance coverage or race are not fully explained by socioeconomic status and clinical factors. And we wanted to explore whether delays in treatment may contribute to disparities. A recent study showed that treatment delay was associated with worse overall survival among Medicaid patients with late-stage disease. There are several limitations to past studies which have examined treatment delay. First, many studies combine women with Medicaid and Medicare coverage into a single coverage, which they might call public or government. And this combined category is difficult to interpret, and it also may not be ideal given the marked differences in breast cancer outcomes for these two groups of women. Second, many studies rely on administrative data, and this somewhat limits the type of variables that can be explored. And finally, many studies assign group-level data on SES to individuals, and this might be unreliable when there's considerable heterogeneity within a region, and it may also inadequately control for confounding. So the goals of this study were to answer the following questions. What are the determinants that contribute to delay in the first course of treatment, and are there disparities in treatment delay on the basis of insurance coverage or race? And for this study, we combine medical record and patient-reported data, and this allows us to assess novel factors of delay and also to collect individual-level data on SES. So this study was based on data collected as part of the Carolina Breast Cancer Study, or CBCS. CBCS was a study which began in 1993, and it's currently in its third phase. So it's a population-based case-only study that recruits women ages 20 to 74 years old from 44 counties in North Carolina who have pathologically confirmed invasive breast cancer. And women are identified through rapid case ascertainment in collaboration with the North Carolina Central Cancer Registry. And the sampling probabilities vary based on age and race. So data are collected through a nurse-administered interview, which takes place at the participant's home, a quality of life questionnaire, and medical record data abstraction. So we had a total of 771 potential study participants for which we had complete information, and these women were diagnosed between May 1st, 2008 and January 29, 2010. And from the 771 potential participants, we selected for inclusion women who were non-Hispanic white or non-Hispanic African American, women who had an invasive disease diagnosis based on a core needle biopsy, and they had to have a known date and type of first course of treatment. And the types of treatment that we considered were surgery, either breast-conserving surgery or BCS and mastectomy, or neoadjuvant chemotherapy and or hormone therapy, which I'll just refer to as neoadjuvant therapy. And so our final study population consisted of 601 women. Our main study outcome was treatment delay. And we defined delay as greater than 30 days between the date of diagnosis and the date of treatment. And the diagnosis date was the date of the core needle biopsy, and the treatment date was the date on which they received BCS, mastectomy, or neoadjuvant therapy. Logistic regression models were used to calculate odds ratios and the 95% confidence interval, and we included an interaction term between race and age to account for the study design. P-values were two-sided, and p less than 0.05 was considered statistically significant, and all statistical analyses were performed using SAS 9.2. Now I'll present some of the study findings. Here I show descriptive statistics for the population. All of the frequency data that I'll show in the presentation were weighted to estimate the population of North Carolina. So the median time from diagnosis until the baseline interview was 5.1 months with a range of 1.9 months to 20.8 months. And the median time from diagnosis until treatment was 27 days with a range of 2 days to 105 days. About 28.2% of the women were diagnosed at age less than 50 years old, and about 40% had a college degree or higher. More than half of women had an income of greater than $50,000. In terms of treatment delay, about 40% of women experienced a delay of greater than 30 days. And delays of greater than 60 days were uncommon in this population. They were observed in less than 3% of women. Here I show the results for insurance coverage. And the first column shows the frequency of women having that particular type of coverage in the population, and the second column shows the percentage of women who experienced delay. And we did not find a significant association of insurance coverage with delay, and delay was most frequent among women with Medicaid coverage. Here I show the adjusted results for insurance coverage. I guess the main point I want to show here is that when we adjust for SES and other factors, there was very little change in the odds ratios for the different types of coverage except in the case of uninsured women. Here I just summarized the results for SES, personal, and clinical factors. We found no significant association between either of the SES factors we examined, education or income, and delay. We also looked at two measures of emotional and functional well-being. We asked women to rate how satisfied they were with how they were coping with their illness, and we also asked the degree to which they had accepted their illness, and there was no association between any of these measures and delay. We examined various clinical factors such as family history, disease stage, symptoms at diagnosis, and none of these factors were associated with delay. In this slide, I show three characteristics which we did find to be significantly associated with delay. The first was household size. We found that for households of two or more people, delay tended to increase as you had smaller households. We found that women who lost a job due to their diagnosis were about 2 times more likely to experience delay compared to those who did not. And also similarly, for women who underwent immediate reconstruction following mastectomy, they were about 2 times more likely to experience delay compared to those who did not. Here I summarize the results for race. We did not find a significant association between race and delay. African-American women were slightly more likely to experience delay. I should mention we did also look at the association of race with delay of 60 days, and we did find a significant association. In fact, African-American women, about 6%, experienced delay of greater than 60 days compared to about 1.7% of white women, so that was a difference about threefold. We also stratified the data based on race, and we looked at what were the significant determinants of delay for African-Americans and white women separately. And we found that the determinants of delay for white women were identical to those that we found in the unstratified data: household size, losing a job due to diagnosis, and immediate reconstruction. However, among African-American women, the type of treatment received and immediate reconstruction were associated with delay. So immediate reconstruction was the only delay that was common, only significant determinant of delay that was common to both groups of women. Here I show the adjusted odds ratios for each race and age category, and I highlight the significant results in the red boxes. In each case, white women in the age group are considered the reference group. And we found that African-American women were more than 3 times as likely as white women to experience delay for the younger age groups, who are less than 50, but not for the older age groups. So in summary, we did not find that insurance coverage was associated with delay. We found that the determinants of delay differ based on race. Among white women, household size, losing a job due to one's diagnosis, and immediate reconstruction were associated with delay. Among African American women, the type of treatment and immediate reconstruction were associated with delay. We also found that African American women were more likely than white women to experience delay for women less than 50 years old, but not for older women. Some of the implications of this study demonstrates the importance of evaluating whether determinants of breast cancer treatment delay vary for different subgroups of a population rather than just evaluating the determinants for the population as a whole. And we also, from this results, they suggest that interventions to reduce disparities in treatment delay in North Carolina should target African-American women less than 50 years old. Some of the strengths and limitations of our study, first in terms of limitations, the baseline interview occurred about 5 months after diagnosis. So this means that treatment subsequent to the first course of treatment may have affected some responses. Some factors may have changed during this interval, such as insurance coverage, and also introduces the possibility for recall bias. Another limitation is that the clinically relevant delay period is unknown. We chose a cutoff of 30 days, which is commonly used in the literature, and you also kind of see 60 days, but the clinical cutoff, which really affects people and results in poor outcomes, remains to be established, and it's very likely that there's no cutoff for all women. It's going to vary for different groups of women. Some of the strengths of the study, it's a large population-based study. We include both medical record and patient-reported data, and we have individual-level data on socioeconomic characteristics. So I would like to acknowledge the following people who are made the study possible, in particular the CBCS participants who are willing to share their personal and medical information.